with Rosh Hashanah coming, I thought maybe we'd spend a couple of moments pondering some points for Rosh Hashanah. First question I want to ask today is, why don't we say Vidui on Rosh Hashanah? So Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in his Sefer Midbar Shur, noted that a student of the late great Rav Sadia Gaon Zatzal once observed his Rebbe Rav Sadia Gaon rolling in the snow in order to engage in a process of tshuva that we call Gilgul Shelek. So the student asked the Rebbe what he had done that made him want to do that. Rav Sadia answered that he had come to an inn and was refused some service. When it became apparent just who the guest was, the owner of the inn begged Rav Sadia Gaon for forgiveness for not recognizing who his illustrious guest was. Rav Sadia Gaon felt that if the owner of the inn could be so filled with remorse that he begged forgiveness for not recognizing another mortal, how much more so must we be remorseful for not recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence? Rav Kook Zatzal noted that this is what Rosh Hashanah is all about. It's the prelude to Slichos. Before we recite Vidui, we need to be fully clear to whom we are reciting the Vidui. And so therefore Rosh Hashanah is about recognizing whom we are reciting Tfilos and Tchinos and Bakashos to, none other than the Almighty. For the first night of Rosh Hashanah, there's a long-standing custom to dip apples in honey. We know that we dip the apple in the honey for a sweet new year, but why are we using apples? So Tzvi Elimelech Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the author of the Tzvi Latzadik, explained that tapuach, the word for apples, is actually an abbreviation of the words tizgalan pizgamin v'somrun chedushin. Reveal the comments, the hidden comments, and say new ideas, say chedushin. So the Tzvi Latzadik explains that when one offers new Torah ideas, new chedushins, so he or she is building new worlds in partnership with the Almighty, so to speak. The Gemara explains that according to Rabbi Lazar, this world was created in Tishrei. And so we eat apples in order to remind us to study Torah diligently and create new vistas and worlds through Torah study together with the Ribono Shel Olam. Apples, tapuchim, on Rosh Hashanah, and make those worlds very sweet. There's a debate between the Vilna Gaon and the Ari HaKadosh as to whether one should shed tears on Rosh Hashanah when davening. The Gro was very opposed to the practice, and the Arizal felt it was necessary. And the truth of the matter is that many of the great heroines who pepper Rosh Hashanah Day seem to have shed many tears for different requests, supporting the pro-crying position. But what leads Elkanah on the first day's Haftorah, and even HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the second day's Haftorah, to ask Chana on the first day, and to ask Rachel Imenu on the second day, to limit their crying? So by Dr. Norman Lamb, identified the tears of Sisera's mother, which serve as the backdrop to the shofar, as tears that are useless tears, because they only merely reflect opportunities that are lost. Similarly, Rabbi Yamin Eisenberger Shlita identified the tears of Chana and the tears of Rachel Imenu as tears of tshuka, as tears of desire, where the desire not to let the hope be gone carry the day. Such tears are good for the Jews. And that's why the Ari says, if you're going to cry, make them tears of hope. Gemara tells us that in regard to the first days of Torah, Penina l'shem shamayim niskavna. Penina acted l'shem shamayim. And the Talmud tells us that although the Nabi is quite harsh in treating Penina's insulting comments to Chana, her co-wife, her intentions were pure. And how could that be? What she did was so hurtful. So the Maharal explains that Penina's intentions were pure, because she felt that what she was doing was her tachlis. And similarly, although when we're about to get here in the Gemara in Yevamos with the Dafayomi, when two co-wives are tsaris, it's a very sad situation, because both co-wives enter major competition in order to make sure that she's doing her tachlis. Unfortunately, one person's tachlis cannot come at a cost or be built upon another one's hurt feelings. And so although Penina acted l'shem shamayim, she was not a vindictive person. She wound up hurting Chana, and we, in our intentions for the upcoming year, even our reflections of the present, we need to ask the question, what are we doing? In the Akedah, which is the backbone of the Kriyas HaTorah of the second day of Rosh Hashanah, we find the most important animal in the story, of course, referred to the donkey, because he's the only one of the animals who stays alive in the process. And Avraham Avinu says, Shvu lachem po machamor. Why is the donkey so important to the Akedah story? There's a Gemara in Pesachim where the Gemara quotes Rabbi Akiva, who used to note that in his early years, if he were to see a Talmud Chacham, anashchenu kechamor, like a donkey. And the Panim Yafos explains that as opposed to a dog, a donkey can get marrow out of a bone without breaking it. The trick, says the Panim Yafos, is the stubborn focus of the donkey on its goal. Similarly, we find when Yaakov Avinu gives a bracha to Yisachar, he's identified as chamor garim. Why is that? So the Mefarshim explain it's due to his stubbornness in keeping the word of Hashem. Avraham Avinu, at the time of the Akedah, remained stubbornly focused on carrying out the word of Hashem. And like the donkey, Avraham reminds us that despite challenges around us, every Jew's ultimate success comes when he or she acts with an eye towards real goals in life. That real goal being the word and following the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah, we can't talk about Rosh Hashanah without talking about the shofar. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that we sound the shofar with Tekios de Me'umad and Tekios de Me'ushav. Tekios de Me'ushav, the ones before the Shmon Esrei, and those during the Musaf, which are known as the Tekios de Me'umad. And the reason for both of them, says the Gemara, is Kedei La'arbe V'sa Satan, to confuse the Satan. So the aforementioned Rav Kook Zatzal explained that the two approaches highlight the two ways that a person approaches HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. He approaches HaKadosh Baruch Hu kibnei maron, as an individual, and kimelo armana, as a member of a community. When a person is measured in the context of being an individual and within the context of being a member of a community, b'mispar shemos, then the Satan becomes confused in the way that he chooses to approach us. We have a responsibility to know that, and to know that we get carried in the same way. Finally, the Gemara identifies that we identify one of the names of Rosh Hashanah as Yom HaDin. And the Ramban records that the idea that Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin is an oral tradition. It doesn't appear in Tanakh. It's an oral tradition that's handed down from generation to generation, from Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon, who, according to one version of the Gemara, was born and committed original sin on Rosh Hashanah. My Rebbe Rav Shachter Shlita often commented that there are some critical homiletical messages to be learned from the original sin, especially important to consider on Rosh Hashanah. Point number one. According to one Medrash, if Adam HaRishon would have waited until Friday night, until Leil Shabbos, he would have been permitted to eat the fruits of the Eitz Hadas. The problem was that Adam couldn't contain himself even for a few hours. And the lesson therefore becomes that we all have to train ourselves to realize that it's not that essential to have instant gratification. God created a world to have us enjoy the world, but it isn't absolutely necessary to have pleasure all the time. When a Jewish farmer plants a tree, and he doesn't eat its fruits until the first 3 years of Arla and the fourth year of Netar Avai, or when the Shochet slaughters an animal but doesn't eat the meat until he checks the lung, we see that God wanted us to take the time out and process. It's not so terrible to postpone having a little pleasure in the world, because in the process we're actually allowing room for contemplation. Lesson number two. The reason that Adam and Chava cannot control themselves and rather chose to sin by eating from the Eitz Hadas is because the fruit seems so delicious and appealing. When we read the Psukim in Parashas Bereishis, the Torah gives us the exact same description with respect to all the trees in Gan Eden. Tova eitz lamacho v'tava ulai na'im. They were all delicious and all appeared to be very appealing. But when we have the attitude that the grass is always greener on the other side, when we assume mayim genuvim yumtako, so the fact of the matter is, that's where we get ourselves into trouble. The fact of the matter is that the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha is that a tzaddik thinks to himself about all the wonderful pleasure that he will get by holding back from the averos, and then doesn't do it. The rasha, on the other hand, turns around and says he's going to go ahead and can't resist the great pleasure that he's going to be giving up. So lesson number two is not to have the desire to see the grass is greener on the other side. Sometimes what we have is good enough. When Hashem confronts Adam HaRishon and tells him that he's going to be punished, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki shamata l'kol ishtecha, because you listen to your wife. And the Medrash understands that expression to mean that Chava coaxed her husband to eat along with her from the forbidden fruit by crying in front of him. Rav Shachter used to say to us, this teaches us that we sin often because we give in to social pressure. And one of the lessons of Rosh Hashanah and one of the lessons of Aveira is to realize that we have to be individuals sometimes. Sometimes we have to say to ourselves, I'm not going to give in to the social pressure. I'm going to do what I think is right. We're not going to go for instant gratification. We're not going to decide that the stolen waters are great. And we're going to make sure to make it our business not to give in to social pressure. These are some of the essential lessons that can be learned from Chet Adam HaRishon and can serve as essential lessons to make sure that in the upcoming year we'll be able to be zoche to a shana tovu umesuka aksiva bachasima tova.